22 minutes to 11, you're with Ian Jamieson on ABC Regional Radio on this Wednesday morning. It's March the 17th, and for many people that reminds you that it's St. Patrick's Day. But today, also, is the anniversary of the birth of Miss Olive Pink, born on March 17, 1884. She died in 1975, having lived the last half of her life in Alice Springs, and one Alice Springs resident who knew Miss Olive Pink very well is Des Nelson, and Des joins me in the studio. Good morning, Des.
Good morning, Ian.
Des, how did you come to meet Miss Pink, and what circumstances?
At first, I just used to see her as an old lady walking along the streets, and everybody knew about Miss Pink. She was one of the local characters. But how I came to specifically meet her was one very hot summer's day, and I'd just recently purchased a new Holden Ute, of which I was very proud, and giving people lifts, and there was this poor old lady walking along the street with a string bag full of groceries, and I offered her a lift home.
And what year was this about?
Oh, well, it was in the 1950s at any rate.
Now, Miss Pink would have been fairly conspicuous, wouldn't she? Didn't she dress in a particular way?
Yes, in the hot weather, and mostly in the cold weather too, she was dressed in white. And in the hot weather, she often had a pith helmet. And in the cool weather, that was often replaced with a dark beret. And sometimes she wore a dark tartan shawl. But she always appeared to be dressed in a period of some years before the present, you know.
Old time.
Yes, old fashioned type of dress.
Fully covered.
Yeah, right. And another part of her dress was a cameo brooch.
Cameo brooch.
Always wore, nearly always had a cameo brooch.
Now, when you think about it, especially for summer in Central Australia, it was probably a very sensible way to dress. In fact, I think in other ways, Miss Pink was probably ahead of her time in many areas. Would you agree?
Oh, she was indeed. She, for instance, was an advocate of land rights for the Aboriginals, and she was a great promoter of growing local plants, you know, well before the Society for Growing Australian Plants was established here. There were always people who were interested in growing local plants, but she was certainly to the fore.
Probably what brought you two together as being a friend of Miss Pink, and we'll get on to the whether you're a friend or not later on, but your common interest in horticulture or botany, was it, Des?
Yes, well, when she found out that I was working in the local herbarium and was doing a lot of bushwork, she asked me if I would bring particular plants back from the bush for her to grow. She was very keen to grow spinifex, for instance, because she'd spent a lot of time out in the desert country, and I brought a small spinifex plant back in a paper bag of red dirt, and that was planted on the reserve, and it grew. So she was pretty pleased about that. And another thing she was keen on growing was the little ferns that grow underneath mulga trees, and I did the same thing. I brought some back in a paper bag of the dirt, and that grew. I used to walk around her block and discuss the various plants with her, and you know, we had that interest in common, and we became pretty good friends.
Now, you were either a friend or you weren't. Would that be right?
Oh, this is true. With Miss Pink, there was no halfway. You were a friend, or you were one of the enemy. particular people that she didn't like. She wasn't very fond of the people who worked in the old Native Affairs branch of the government, because she didn't think they were handling their duties correctly, and they were almost all of them were the enemy.
She had a particular relationship with people in government positions and bureaucrats. How did she deal with them?
Well, she, on the local scene, she often walked into the district office and demanded to be an interview with, say, the district officer himself or some particular person. And when people saw her coming, some of them used to disappear into another office and shut the door.
That hasn't changed. Today's uptime?
No. But the first person she used to see when she went into the district office was my future wife, who at that stage of the game also used to wear a facsimile cameo brooch, which struck Miss Pink's eye. And she thought, oh, what nice taste this young girl's got. And so...
immediate friend.
Yeah, immediate friend. But there was a certain person in the district office, a fellow called Maurie Morrow, who was the only one who could speak to Miss Pink in a manner that was sort of semi-abusive. He used to say, what, you again, you old bag? He was the only person who could get away with that. There was just something about Maurie, but Maurie was the kind of person who would do favours for anybody. Mm. And so she appreciated this. She didn't suffer fools at all, but, you know, as I say, lots of the others would just dodge the issue by disappearing. And, of course, another thing that she used to do was to write letters locally and to Darwin, and I saw one or two of these letters, and they were written in very large, clear handwriting, and when she wanted to emphasise a point, she'd write in capital letters and underline in red.
And how would she give favours to the people that she knew back at her own little place of living?
Well, she had a great method of honouring people who'd really done her, you know, good favours by naming a tree after them. It'd either be a tree that she'd planted or had planted, or it was one that was already growing there, and she'd take you for a walk along the row of trees or the scattering of trees and say, oh, this is Mr. Hewitt, this is Mr. Harris, and this is Mr. Jackson, and this is Mr. Day, and so forth. And then you might come to one tree that mightn't be looking too good, and you'd say, oh, what's wrong with that tree? And she might say, well, that's Mr. Geezy, but I'm not watering him anymore, because he'd fallen out of favour.
What were her living conditions like?
Well, I think I only ever went inside the hut once myself. My wife and I were invited over for an engagement party when she found that we were engaged, and it was outside. And she said that she was very specific about things, but she broke her rules this time. She said she'd invite us over for a small party, which wouldn't take very long, you know, just a few minutes, could you come over and see me? Well, we sat out the front, and we had the cake and the sherry and the Bickford's lime juice, which is still commemorated at the annual do. But we finished up talking for 4 hours. But you know, people had done a great job there to make her comfortable. People like Reg Harris, for instance, and various members of government departments who were tradesmen and so forth. I think Glenn Hewitt was another one. They went over there and looked after the furnishings and the electricity and all that sort of thing. And just there were a lot of people who were very good to Miss Pink, and I think they just appreciated her as a person and a character.
Mm. Well, of course, her name lives on nowadays, Des, with the Olive Pink Flora Reserve in Alice Springs.
Well, yes, and that's another interesting thing, because I said to her one day, I suppose this place will be named after you eventually. And she acted rather horrified about that, and she said that she didn't want it to be named after her. And she told me very secretively the name that she wanted it to be called, which was an Aboriginal word, and she asked me to forget it, which I promptly did. But even so, I think like many others, I'm glad that it was named after her at any rate.